Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com. DebatePhysics.com also. But nobody to debate. World has changed, blah blah blah. Anyway, you think with all the dissidents, all the people who aren't convinced, you'd think there would be some interest in arguing individual subjects, but can't find it. So anyway, this is a Jim Al-Khali pile of crap, frankly. I mean, it's just all this propaganda about what the truth is, about what Einstein was about, what physics is about, what the real story is, blah, blah, blah. And it's just, it's all such crap. I just figure I will do the decrapping. You know, somebody needs to do it. So even putting this title, What Stumped Einstein? Frankly, physics is still stumped. Okay, it's a institution, and what's stumping them all is the fact that they've taken so many wrong roads. They're so lost, you know, because they went so many wrong ways. Yeah, period. And some of them are Einstein's fault, and some of them Einstein tried to prevent. So that's sort of the argument, you know, is that you have to really be careful, and nobody did the careful thing. There's no careful player in the whole story. There's just a bunch of reckless, pushers, and no one saying, "Oh, you gotta take this slow, because we could make a mistake, and if we make a mistake, it's gonna take a long time to undo it." But no. Anyway, here we go.
Blah, 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 blah. Einstein is celebrated for giving us the special theory of relativity.
I have a little bit sped up, and the volume's probably a little too low for me anyway. And we don't need this closed captioning crap. I don't know why it keeps popping on the screen. Turn it off and it just turns back on again. It's just, you know, one of those YouTube features. Yeah. Anyway. Showing light bulbs that are out for whatever reason. Anyway. So, yes, Einstein celebrated for relativity. I guess a real physicist knows that, you know, the insights he had were more broad than that, and they really had to do with photons. I mean, if you say anything about sums Einstein up, he spent a lot of time trying to figure out how photons work.
Fact that nothing goes faster than light, time is the fourth dimension.
So nothing goes faster than light just seems like, well, why would anybody think otherwise? I mean, this isn't, you don't need Einstein to figure this out, and you could almost figure it out in the simplest way. It's if you know the forces are pushing stuff, and you know the forces go the speed of light, well, you can sort of figure out that if they're pushing, they can only push things as fast as they can go. They can't push, they can't throw something. You know, they can only push it. So if they are only going the speed of light, then nothing else is going faster than the speed of light, because there's nothing going faster than the speed of light to push it. So you don't need Einstein to figure out the speed of light is a barrier, because you can't make any fuel that goes faster than the speed of light. I mean, it's all about how fast your fuel is leaving your rocket engine, for example. Well, you know you can't make the fuel leave faster than the speed of light, so your rocket can't possibly go faster than the speed of light. I mean, what's so complicated? So even that jargon, even that kind of idea that Einstein invented the speed limit. Bullshit.
But he didn't come up with the equations.
All right, so I don't even know why he said that part. He didn't come up with the equations. Well, he didn't come up with Schrodinger equation, but he did come up with a lot of the relativity equations, and then they were fixed by whatever Hamiltonians and other kinds of horseshit. But they're not. I mean, frankly, four-dimensional equations are not rational, in my opinion, because there isn't four dimensions. But whatever.
That was the interpretation, the narrative of the equations. And the same with any other...
The narrative of the equations. So again, what does that even mean? That was the narrative of the equations. What does that even mean? I don't know what it means.
Theory in physics. With quantum mechanics, it's different.
All right, with quantum mechanics, somehow it's different. When, yeah, both ideas were percolated, okay, whatever, mixed... at the same time as, and so it's just kind of silly to say they're separate subjects, because in some ways they're not, because it's all this idea of we've got to figure out what the physical objects are, and so kind of because Einstein was able to make gravity not physical, it didn't seem like such a stretch to make all this other stuff not very physical. So everything started turning into little sparkly things that could be in more places than once, and all of that kind of sissy science.
We have the equations of quantum mechanics, but we can't...
So what does this have to do with anything? Yeah. I'm just so sick of manipulations everywhere. Everything's propagandized by throwing some kind of crap on top of it. It's a fucking little tiny kid. She's got dopey weird glasses on, which, okay, you know, newsflash, you know, if you start wearing glasses when you're a kid, your eyes aren't going to get better, they're going to get worse. But anyway, she's got an earring. What the fuck?
Can't agree on what that equation means. Schrodinger's.
So they have little kids play scientists. Isn't that all very cute? Why is it in the video? What's it for? Who's it work on? You know, the little psychological warfare. Yeah. Barf. So, waves. This is the part where, okay, this is Schrodinger's stuff, so this isn't Einstein stuff, blah, blah, blah. So we could go on and on about that.
This equation being the most famous one, we could...
Right. And just oscillator, you know, mathematics that has to do with impossible circumstances. Whoa, this is kind of gross. A little dead rat on the phone. Eek. Thank you.
And crank the handle and produce numbers from the equation, but the narrative, the story, the explanation is still something that we're arguing about. And that...
Okay, so you have math, and they called math a narrative, and now math isn't the narrative. Now the math is one thing, and the story behind the math is another thing. So now we've separated those concepts. So yes, first I'd argue the math isn't what they claim it to be. It isn't perfect. It doesn't come up with perfect answers. All of that crap is just that crap. They don't really do any of these equations. They're just formalizations. And they just say, here's, you know, an answer to a question you didn't ask. So they do math for questions that nobody asked, so nobody cares if the answer is crap. And then a lot of the math is just circular. They just make up how much fuel is in the gasoline and then just, you know, circularly prove their own made-up answer. Made-up statement. The variables are made up, and therefore the frickin' equation is just a piece of crap made up.
Bugs me.
So he's bugged, and his brain goes, ooh, I'm bugged. He's bugged. He's obviously not bugged by any of the right things. He's bugged because it isn't wacky enough. Alright, explain it like I'm smart. So, it's more jargon. Ugh. An original interview from the well. You know, and it's... So they're showing the little wave in the background, right? The single slit wave that isn't interfering with itself in water. Okay, so... oh, no parallel to light. Okay, so the experiment that doesn't prove light's a wave. Ah, okay. Brilliant of you. So what is the narrative problem of quantum mechanics? So it's not a narrative, okay? They're trying to describe what is really happening. So it's not just some kind of narrative. You're just trying to tell the actual truth rather than some fake phony story. And they have all these elements that I would argue are on their face, you know, UFO stories. They don't really have anything to do with getting to the, you know, weather balloon truth.
By the end of the 19th century, it was already known that we needed some new physics.
We need new physics. So I really don't think that's what the attitude was. I think you're just saying that you had elements that seemed incompatible, and well, that probably should be worked on because something's probably wrong in what we already think. Now, I'm sure some physicists thought that way. because, yeah, there are, you know, let's just understand. So somewhere in the 1700s, they did the 1/2 mv squared thing, complete nonsense, and then they codified it in the 1800s and made it a law. And right there you could say, well, that's not going to help you any. And then again, making up fake dimensions, that's not going to help you any, frankly. That's not the road to the truth. That's the desperate, let's cling to anything road.
Explain mysterious phenomena, x-rays, like radioactivity.
Okay, so it's nothing terribly, once you saw x-rays, you said, oh, okay. And then once you find out, oh, it's higher frequency light. Okay, that makes sense. There's a reason why there's x-rays, and then there's infrared, and then there's radio waves, and then there's microwaves, and I can figure all that out, that there's a reason why some of them do some things when they pass through material, and some do other things. Well, that's not too hard to... That's not all that mysterious, frankly. I don't think that one was what Einstein was confused about.
That energy seemed to be coming out of nowhere.
Okay, so you know, this is bullshit, right? The only way energy was coming out of nowhere is because you didn't know what energy was. So that wasn't happening. I mean, it seems kind of... What's the complication? You have electrons and protons, and they're smashed into little tiny balls of atoms like they're being compressed or something. And then you're surprised that if you decompress them, you know, you pull the pin, that they might explode like a grenade. Yeah, well, that's not terribly surprising. So let's not play. But I don't think that was stumping any physicist, that chemistry contained volatility. I don't think there was a bunch of physicists saying, well, that's too hard to figure out. I mean, they already knew that protons were really close to each other, and they really shouldn't be, because they're, they're opposite. They have an opposing force between them that they'll even go to say is the strong force. Now, obviously, the strong force is the same as the force that would hold two electrons very close to each other. It's the same charge. It would be the same force. So anytime you're putting protons near protons, or you're putting electrons near electrons, you're doing it because something is pushing them, forcing them into that condition. And so that's understandable. Now, I guess the nuance of understanding that, well, the attractive force would be the other strong force. It's just equally strong as the repulsive force. The north side of the magnet's just as strong as the south side. So, yeah, so it's the bizarreness, if you want to say mysteriousness, of this idea of a very strong force attracting things and a very strong force repelling things, and now you're going to arrange those forces inside of a little tiny thing, and you're surprised that when that falls apart, there's a bunch of energy, movement. Well, if there were strong forces that are pushing them together, then there's got to be some kind of reaction. So again, I don't think it's all that. I don't think physicists were that stumped.
Understand the behavior or the structure of the atom. And so when quantum mechanics came along, it wasn't because physicists were sitting, scratching their heads, thinking there must be some...
No, it exactly was. I mean, the whole Bohr conversation between Einstein and these people, the whole thing was so silly and stupid. Schrodinger cat was invented to mock it. I mean, Einstein said things, well, what, you think the moon disappears when you're not looking at it? I mean, it's idiotic. What are you talking about? You need to measure something. You don't need to measure anything. Okay, everything's being measured all the time. I mean, Einstein didn't say that because he broke gravity. But if you understand gravity as an also has to be quantizable force, that is, you can understand that it's coming in raindrops of gravity, well, then you can understand stuff is getting measured all the time. Its position is known all the time because it's interacting with a force that is so dense and so voluminous that there's no way you could fly a mile without interacting with it. Okay, even the tiniest particle can't escape interacting with the force. So nothing could be in any phony, fake, you don't know where I am position. Because everything is being photographed, you know, every trillion, billionth, zillionth of a second. They could have figured that out. So what is this again? What is this imagery? Ooh. I just hate manipulation. It's just so manipulative. This mood science.
Deeper understanding of the nature of reality. I know, let's come up with quantum mechanics.
That's exactly what you did. Let's see who has the silliest idea and then we'll vote for it. So give us your silliest suggestion. And yeah, we'll go for the silliest one because that'll be the most interesting. We could talk a bunch of shit. It'll be fun. Don't give me any boring answers like, oh, it's a clockwork universe, very mechanical, very simple, little parts are deciding everything. You're just a fucking robot. Don't give me the you're just a fucking robot answer, because I don't want to hear that. I mean, even this, you know, so they're doing this stupid white screen thing, you know, trying to isolate him from any environment so they can put any kind of crap behind him, I guess. And then they do it in this fake atmosphere. Maybe they have a white screen and then this is all green screen behind it. But, oh, I mean, all this trouble to say some words.
It was forced on physicists because of experimental results that were...
Okay, so this is forced on physics. So they have an experiment that, okay, what's the story? So it puzzled Newton, right? So Newton did the first light diffraction experiments, probably. Well, it probably wasn't Newton. Somebody else did stuff, and Newton heard about it and duplicated it and tried to figure it out. So it's just the aperture thing, right? You make a small aperture, and all of a sudden you get these fringe lines, all right? So you and then Newton pulled the hair and did that and said, look, you get fringe lines. I'm almost certain there must be something in something Newton wrote somewhere where he talks about, well, it's probably the fucking surfaces are doing it. But they never talked about the surfaces. They just talk about the opening somehow, because the opening fits their wave psychology, and that's it. So all they think about is, oh, there's a big opening, and the photons are going through the big opening, and what are they doing when they go through the big opening? When, to me, the first logical instinct is to say, what are those fucking surfaces doing? Isn't that what's different between a photon going through the middle and a photon going through the edge? Isn't the difference the edge? Shit. So the mystery was, you know, one they made up because they refused to even think about any ideas that weren't already where they were going, which was everything's a wavy pile of bullshit.
Inexplicable. It's a fuzzy, probabilistic world.
Okay, so that only happens on the big scale. So, yeah, everything's fuzzy and probabilistic when you do a bunch of permutations. So you could do that with roulette or just dice or lots of examples of things that have probabilistic outcomes that you can't possibly see in one throw of the dice. Because the one throw of the dice looks like it's not being controlled by variables, but it is. And when you have enough variables, you have something called randomness. You synthesize something called randomness. And, you know, that's it. And then that forces there to be probabilities. To just create enough permutations, enough variables in how the thinking bounce around, and you will come up with statistics that say, yes, it's 5% of the time it hits, you know, three walls, 10% of the time it hits, you know, two. Yeah, I mean, you can figure all that out. You can just make this, you know, you can make calculations about what the outcome is going to be, and then you can draw conclusions about why the outcome came out that way. If it misses, you know, it's just like some sort of you could put a challenge in front of somebody, and if they don't get over the first hurdle and they sprain their ankle, obviously the rest of the course is going to change. And, you know, so you can find that out. Probabilistically, a certain percentage are going to be out of the game before they even start the game. You know, you roll the dice and it flies out of the box you're throwing the dice in. Well, whatever.
Things are never behaving in one way for certain. Atoms can have two energies at the same time.
Okay, now see, that doesn't have anything to do with probability. That has to do with their narrative. So their made up story about why the outcomes come out the way they do. And so they create some sort of fake explanation that isn't necessary. They don't have to go here. They chose to go to the wacky solution. When the simple solution is what Einstein was arguing, that there's obviously a variable controlling why it comes out this way. Why does one go left and one goes right? Einstein's saying, well, there's a mechanical reason. There's some sort of feature that you're not accounting for that's creating that division.
Electrons can be in two places at the same time. Particles aren't discrete little lumps. They can sometimes behave like spread out waves.
Okay, so whatever, all this eventually will be proven to be crap, okay? This is all just crap. It's just not the truth. We don't have to believe it. There's no preponderance of evidence. There's just the two-slit experiment, pretty much. And so they just keep piling this crap on a simple experiment. And if you understand that the simple experiment really is just about surfaces being point sources, you know, that photons go through a mechanism, the ones near the surface are broken, the broken pieces go fly off in different directions, and 50% of the time they'll be back in phase and create a photon that you can see, and the other 50% they won't be in phase and there won't be anything you'll see. It's some other kind of energy hitting the surface, but it won't be a visible photon because you broke them. And that's all that's going to, you know, that's the truth. That's the rational, decent, fair deduction because it gets the right answer. It resolves why there's a probability. It explains what the difference is. And the difference is, do I know how much the light is bent? Well, it's bent based on how many electrons it hits and how fast they're moving. And so that decides how far how much the pieces are bent. And there's a limit. And, you know, they've never even tested the limits. You know, they've never done anything to really get to the truth, right? I mean, the simple explanation would be, you're doing a two-slit experiment, you're going to see the pattern on a board. Well, you know the pattern keeps going. So why wouldn't they ever put a photographic film over here and a photographic film over here and see how many photons actually do go that way? Do they really go at 90 degrees? Are there any photons that travel 90 degrees to the surface? They never even investigated. So clearly this isn't about, oh, we can't figure it out. It was about, we don't want to know a real answer. Just make up something really, really silly and we'll buy it.
Waves of probability. It's really down at a level far beyond anything that we can visualize or imagine.
So that's what they've turned the physical reality into. He's basically saying, if we can't imagine it and we can't visualize it, that means we can't draw it. That means we can't model it. We can't understand it. We can only understand it as some sort of mathematical crap that actually doesn't get right answers, but it just gives us some kind of little things to flip around, little symbols to make, and you know, we can pretend we're getting an answer when the answer will never be tested to the reality. The equations won't ever have to get a right answer, but you're never going to use them for anything real.
If we think about everyday objects, a tennis ball, for example, subject to the laws of Newtonian mechanics. You drop down...
Okay, so let's understand laws of Newtonian mechanics that they've perverted now to say Newton believed in kinetic energy, which he didn't do. He believed in momentum. So it's just about momentum. It's just about weight and pressure, and that's all there is in the universe. Stuff being pushed. The stuff being pushed has a mass, so it has a mass and a velocity, and that's how much capacity it has to move electrons and protons in the universe.
Down orders of magnitude, down to a millimeter, down to a micrometer, down to the scale of individual cells or bacteria. Ultimately, when you get down to something like a billionth of a meter, then you start to encounter the fuzziness of the quantum world.
All right, so, you know, this whole, again, that there's any kind of fuzziness, the obvious fuzziness is in probably our ability to see it. So we just need better devices for seeing. And you know, frankly, there really aren't going to be any, because the really small stuff, you can't look at it, because the way you look at something is to bounce something off of it to see where it is. We're always using some kind of radar, some kind of sonar, some sort of R, some sort of stuff that you're going to use to measure it, and that stuff is always going to influence where it's going, so you can't really measure something without screwing up its behavior.
The founding fathers of quantum mechanics in the 1920s, people like the Danish physicist Niels Bohr, Werner...
So, responsible for a bunch of crap, Heisenberg's nonsense principle, that somehow it's not about the fact that we can't see it, it's about the fact that it's unseeable, that it's too wacky, that it doesn't have anything to see. When, no, the obvious answer is we can't see it. It's there, but we can't see it.
Heisenberg, Wolfgang Pauli, and they realized they could make predictions for the results of measurements. But
okay, so let's understand that they're never going to show us these brilliant predictions. So there's no point, they can make predictions. Show me. Show me the actual prediction. Show it to me. Because I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing you get right answers. Okay, they can't even predict that they don't even have math to do the two-slit experiment correctly. I mean, they apply a two-wave theory that can't get the right answer if the slits are capable of being in two different places. I mean, they have to almost put the two surfaces so close to each other that they're in the same place. That's the only way they can make their two-wave math work. So it's all a fake.
Only make the connection with the real world if you look. So that's how they got away with...
So this idiotic looking thing again. That, somehow there's things traveling, like it matters whether it's our camera. So there's a bunch of stuff right now, there's light in this room. All right. And so what he's saying basically is the only time that the matter is actually where it is when our special camera flash hits it and creates an image. So only images created by us, by some force we impose, are the real images. So logically you can understand, no. All the other light counts as a photograph, okay? It could have been a camera that saw it, so it definitely had to be somewhere. And then if you just think a little tiny bit about all the energy that's in the environment, all the cell phone calls and the microwaves and the starlight and all the different pieces of energy hitting things all the time, that it's not very realistic to sit there and say, I have an electron that you can't tell where it is because it's not getting hit by any force at all. And that's what you have to put everything in, is an environment where they're not interacting with anything at all. Because as soon as they interact with something, they're being photographed, they're being measured. The end. They can't have a superposition anymore. They can't pretend to be in more than one place anymore, because they're already being measured. So that's sort of the Schrodinger cat mockery. Is that, what do you really think? Do you really think the cat just sits there in some superimposed position because we can't see it? Because there's a barrier that prevents us from shining light on it and seeing it, that somehow it doesn't have a condition? Bullshit.
Not needing a narrative. The shut up and calculate interpretation. More correctly, it's known as the Copenhagen narrative. But...
So that's kind of funny that they turned Copenhagen into Feynman into blah, 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 when Feynman clearly was saying it's all just random. So he was saying, he was opposing Einstein's statement that God doesn't play dice with the universe. And, the irony is that Einstein's statement is sort of, he doesn't have a better metaphor to make. I mean, Einstein can't give you a metaphor for something that is actually random. So he's using something that's not actually random. It's only synthesized random. It's not actually random. He understood that the dice are determined by how you throw them, and that's already made the decision of where they're going and how they're going to turn out. So Feynman's arguing against Einstein's statement, God doesn't play dice with the universe, nature isn't making anything up. Okay, there's no surprise. okay? And Feynman basically is making exactly the opposite statement, saying, too bad, okay? You don't like it? Tough. Yes, the universe is some sort of whack-a-verse where things are actually randomized. So Feynman's explanation for the double slit isn't that two waves interfere with each other. His explanation is that as soon as it goes through the slit, that somehow its existence is randomized and it's just going to be the probabilistic outcome. So we don't need to understand the variables that the dice bounce into to create randomness. We instead just assume there is a real randomizer. And that's a hugely stupid comment that should have been, everybody should have been able to say, that can't be right. We know it's got to be variables. There's variables that the dice bounce off of. That decides how the dice come out. So let's not pretend that when I threw the dice, they randomized. I don't need to pretend they got randomized because I know the environment creates the randomness. Shit. I mean, obviously, if you can reduce the number of variables, you can just, you know, toss the dice from one side to the other side and predict the results every time. You know, you can flip the coin just three flips and it'll land, and then you can predict. You can, you know, fake flip. You can avoid the randomness.
Now, many physicists, including myself, argue that it's not a narrative at all. It's a bury your head in the sand.
This isn't bury your head in the sand. This is, you know, again, he wants to go even wackier than they've already gone. You know, he wants to say somehow our brain is quantum fluctuating and somehow it makes it smarter. No, I don't think so. Anyway.
Approach. Einstein was very unhappy about this, by the way. He said, no, look, the job of physics.
Okay, Einstein attacks quantum theory. You know, so too bad he doesn't show the whole thing. Scientists and two colleagues find it is not complete, even though correct. So the very idea, so in a way he's saying what I just said, which is, let's not pretend, okay, that, you know, it starts off random. It's made random, okay? The outcomes, the resulting probabilities are an effect caused by the variables, not caused by space or something, or God. Shit. And so this is, you know, when they make these arguments about how what your theory predicts, and, you know, they get crap in return. And so again, Schrodinger cat was in the same category as one of these attacks, and now they've turned it into some sort of positive proof of their silly theory. Like, they, yes, the cat really doesn't know whether it's alive or dead.
It's to know and understand how the world is.
Let's see. Find it is not complete, so now do the rest. Even though correct. See Fuller, one possible. See Fuller, one possible. I don't know what that means. Believe a whole description of the physical reality can be provided eventually. Yes, a real explanation. Yes. Not this fake, shortcutty bullshit.
Not just to make predictions about the results of experiments, that sort of operationalist view. Well, fine, that's useful.
Okay, it would be useful if it was actually true, that you actually did predict something and you actually got right answers. But that's the big joke, is they don't get right answers. So the whole thing is pretty fake. Because variables do matter, and they're obvious variables. You know, how far apart the slits are. It's not like an unobvious variable.
Doesn't give us real understanding. That's why we still need a narrative.
So that's why we still need a narrative. Well, the narrative is, frankly, you should have just to go all the way back to Newton and start over. Okay, just go back to what Newton figured out for you and then add all the new information you've gained from the new experiments, and you'll be able to figure out that, okay, it's just a mechanical universe, it's thermodynamic, the force, the energy is quantizable, so Einstein gave you that one. I'm trying to think of who started that. Shit, I should give him credit, but I just can't remember the name. Schrodinger or Heisenberg? I don't remember which one. Well, anyway, doesn't matter.
The knowledge of quantum mechanics, together with Einstein's theories of relativity, really gave us the modern world, we wouldn't have...
So this is a big lie. Okay, so this is such a monstrous lie that you need relativity to make a computer. That's a fucking insane lie. That you need even quantum mechanics to make a computer. Another gigantic lie. All it was about, they already had all these, they already had electronics in the sense that they had tubes, so they could make amplifiers, they could do some stuff with mechanical devices to manipulate electricity. And then the project just become, let's get rid of all this heat. Okay, and so make us try to make them less hot and less fragile. And so the whole idea of moving to solid state instruments, instruments that didn't depend on, heating coils of wire and doing all this crap. And that's all it was about. And all that was trial and error. And they had already discovered a bunch of it by the time of Einstein. By the time Einstein existed, they had already discovered some of these tricks, that you could shine light on certain materials and they'd create electricity. So you could, definitely a very useful thing. And then you could make a variable transistor or a variable resistor. You could make lots of things based on that principle, and that's all it was. So, this whole idea that you need to believe in entanglement and superposition and God is playing dice with the universe, to think that you need to believe any of that horseshit or fourth dimensions or fifth dimensions to build a computer is just crap. That is just a huge, giant lie.
Developed understanding of materials and how they conduct electricity, so we would.
So they don't understand materials, and again, what we know how they do it because once they figured out what an atom was, and they could combine atoms, and then they could figure out that the atoms had an ionicness to them. They could be electrically dipolar, and all that kind of stuff. That wasn't that complicated. You don't need any of this woo physics to do that simple mechanical function of understanding that atoms are charged.
And if understood semiconductors, it wouldn't have developed silicon chips.
So he just said we wouldn't have. It's just a pile of crap. They had already discovered, that you could take certain crystals and bend them. The piezoelectric effect. They already found out you can bend crystals. You can vibrate crystals. That's how, the whole radio thing started. That's back in 1901 and shit, okay? So this is just a huge lie to say, we had no clue how to get there. No, you already had a ton of clues how to get there. So just more, this is just such bullshit. They just make up this fake, we won a gold medal at the 19-something-or-other Olympics. You didn't win any gold medals. None of that crap happened. This is just trying to steal credibility and say, if we didn't believe in this fake, phony, woo physics, Heisenberg bullshit, we wouldn't have been able to do it. It's just crap. I mean, growing up in the 70s, right, they didn't lie like this. So if you read a book about semiconductors, in the 70s, there wouldn't be any of this bullshit in there. None of this idea that you have to believe any of this woo physics. It was just all about the fact that, this is what certain materials do. And if you layer these materials, you create, interactive surface against surface. And you can, blah, blah, blah. And that's all it was about. It wasn't that they weren't making this bizarre statement that somehow you have to believe in the random God.
Or we wouldn't have computers. I wouldn't be talking here in this medium today were it not for our quantum understanding.
It's just such a lie. I mean, it's just a lie. It's just a lie. It's like saying we wouldn't have had automobiles. So just think, if automobiles were invented a little bit later, right? If they didn't figure out how to make a car, a gasoline engine until 1920, they'd be taking credit for it. They'd be saying we wouldn't have cars and we wouldn't have boats and It's just such bullshit.
But there are aspects of the quantum world that are more mysterious. Quantum entanglement, for example. The idea that, let's say, two electrons that are separated in space can nevertheless somehow behave in a coordinated way. There are speculative ideas.
So now you won't even admit, that they have ESP, that they change their nature based on what the other one does. And it doesn't matter how far away they are, because it happens faster than the speed of light. It's instantaneous communication. or it's a right hand and a left hand glove. Oh, what's the more likely explanation? Right and left hand gloves, or that wooey pile of crap?
It's about whether space itself is connected together via quantum entanglement. We don't.
So I hear that new theory, right? But it just gets sillier and sillier. Yeah, let's make the multiverse entangled. So all of the billions and billions of gazillions and gazillions of universes are all entangled with each other. I'm just saying, they're just making up frickin' Three Pigs stories, and then you people are all sitting there carving it on a totem pole and praying to it. What the fuck about this isn't religion?
All need to be experts in quantum mechanics. Not even the smartest quantum physicist knows how stuff goes on inside their smartphone. But we are going.
So I don't even know what is that statement a statement of? Well, of course they know what goes on, but yes, there's lots of little wires moving. You know, the electricity's going lots of little places, you know, so they can't follow it all. They can't tell you where the electricity is at every little moment. But I think they know what's going on.
To be developing ideas like quantum cryptography, quantum computing.
Yes, well, all stuff, who cares? Don't need one. So, and it won't work, okay? There won't be any quantum computing. It's just jargon. It's just bullshit. The magical qubit that gets the answer without having to think about it. You know, it's just more cheating. Somehow, because their equation says you can cheat your way to an answer, you can take some sort of wormhole shortcut and get to the other side. So the answer's on the other side. The truth is you have to go 2 plus 2, 4 plus 4, you know, 8 plus 8 to actually get there. You have to do these three equations. And they're basically saying, oh, we can take the qubit route, okay, and get to the answer without doing the equation. Yeah, no, you can't.
Quantum sensors. These are ideas and technologies that I...
Quantum sensors. So you just threw that one in there. I mean, again, what the fuck is that crap? And now we're going to have to believe in Heisenberg and entanglement, to smell the shit.
Going to affect us in our daily lives. So we do need to have enough of an appreciation of the science simply to know what to trust. Who?
Oh, right. So that's the game. It's just about trust and faith. It's a religion, okay, because it's all unknowable and nobody can understand it, so we all have to give it away to God, and we just have to let God make our decisions for us because we can't know. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, this is just reeks of religion.
Who to trust? As we peel back layers of the onion about the nature...
It's about what to trust. So they're giving you wacky, the extraordinary, bizarre explanations for a kind of simple functions. I mean, the two-slit pattern, you know, on, off, is the simplest pattern the universe can make. I mean, it can't really make a simpler pattern than on, off, on, off, on, off, on, off. And they think every time they see that pattern, they have to jump to some wacky conclusion.
Of reality, we find deeper mysteries inside. But it's also true that we are...
So they're really not showing us anything deeply mysterious. Oh, a screw. Okay, that's only about 4,000 years old. So, yeah, deeply mysterious. How does a screw work? So they couldn't come up with something deeply mysterious to show you. So they showed you something profoundly unmysterious.
Learning more. We are becoming more enlightened. We know a lot...
Yeah, so I don't know what this has to do with anything. Oh, they're not the same. The breasts aren't the same. What the fuck is this?
It's about how the world works now. That doesn't mean we have reached the end of the road.
Oh, brother. So obviously they're not even close to a road that goes anywhere. So this is the road to nowhere. See, it just goes bloop, 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 bloop. It's the look at the tree road. And it's circular and pointless and will not get to the answer. Because it's not straight, it's not well designed, they didn't figure it out very well. I mean, look at just the waste in this. This is like a highway. This isn't a driveway. I mean, can you imagine what the fuck was this idiot thinking? Why doesn't he just go this way? Right? You know, that's the kind of logic that's missing. They've taken so many loop-de-doo turns that, you know, they've turned something really simple into something insanely complicated.
No, I think there's going to be more weirdness coming down the line, and that's great.
There's going to be more wieners coming down the line. Whatever. More, what the hell did he say? Shit.
No, I think there's going to be more weirdness coming down the line. And
there's going to be more wingers. Wingers, winger, winners. I don't know what the fuck that is. So look at this thing, okay. How Einstein changed time forever. So that's another pile of shit. Why is time stretchy? So maybe, I don't know if I want to do it. It's no point. It's just all such a pile of crap. Time is just a function. You can't change anything about it. You can't. It's not a place in the universe. It's not a dimension. It's just a stupid function. And it's just a function of the fact that the physical crap in the universe can't actually do anything, can't travel distance instantaneously. If it could, then there'd be no time and everything would have already happened. But that's not the universe we live in. Oh, shit.
That's great. I look forward to it.
Ah, la 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 la. Join my religion. Courtesy of APM Music, film pick NASA, oh crap, and the John Templeton Foundation, propagandizing for the world. I wonder if that's what John had in mind, wooey crap. I wonder who John was. Money's being wasted on frickin' religion. Alright. So, another depressing pile of crap. This bullshit compels people. That's compelling science, I gotta say. You sure did prove all that crap. Yeah. So, anyway. Quantum physics and biology. I mean, it's just so disgusting to start trying to make our brains into little woo vehicles. Ugh, shit. Shit. This is so bad. Anyway, so, till the next time and such. Put the background back on. Yeah, there's nothing else to say. It's just, they aren't getting anywhere closer to the truth because it just... They're feeding on extraordinary wooey bullshit. So, I mean, look, there's all these other people. You see all these UFOs and the flat earthers, and all they're all searching for something more. So they're trying to force life to be something more than it is because they don't like the true story. So they just got to make up these fake stories so they can have a fake adventure. Yeah, it's just pathetically pitiful psychology. But anyway, this has been at draftphysics.com, debatephysics.com also, but the debate so far, can't get it, can't buy it, can't find it. It's just not available. So, you know, can't buy it at the store. So, till the next time and such, so forth and whatnot.